It's 7:07 here on the morning show, and glad you're tuning in with us. And joining me in the studio is an old friend, and Mike Madden. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
You know, it's been a while since we've been able to sit and chat like this.
Yeah, it is. It's been at least a year and a half or so, I expect, but it's good to have you back, and I'm glad to be here.
You know what? It's you're looking towards 2019 with a little bit different different situation. You're not going down to Cheyenne for the legislative session, as you've done for a number of years.
Yep.
And you're a free man.
Well, I am. You know, I was just thinking this morning while I was going over my notes and stuff, that what would I be doing if I was going back? And this would be the day that you start packing up. This is Thursday, and then on Friday, you finish packing, or else, depending on the weather, you take off. And this year, I guess maybe a person could make it till Saturday, because it looks like the weather's going to be good. But that's just one of the things that's different for me this year. And like I was saying, you know, this is the week that I usually went down to Gigi's and picked up my dry cleaning that I have done, and I don't have to do that this year, so I can just, as clothes get wrinkled and need to go back, I just take them back one suit at a time, not all of them at once. And so there's a lot of things different, but, you know, I think it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good for my wife, and it will be good for me, too, after I kind of get into the groove. But it would have been 60 days and 60 nights if I had run again. And so that's different. I'll sleep in my own bed.
I didn't get it, and of course I wasn't here in the studio to get a chance to ask you, but, you know, it was just time, huh, to not run for re-election.
Well, it was, you know, and like I've told a lot of people, you know, I've been in there 12 years, okay, and there's only three House members that have been in more than 12 years, and there's two that's been in 14 years, so it's just a term longer than mine, and then there was one that I don't know how many terms he's been in, but I mean that when you get to that point, you know, you kind of look around and say, well, wait a minute, everybody else has left, like my class, for example. When I came in 12 years ago, there was nobody left in there the last 2 years. And the other thing was that early, you know, the first half of my term, or even more, or my tenure, maybe up the first 9 or 10 years, you could always tell that Cheryl, my wife, was always eager to see me leave, because she could go out and change things around in the house and go buy things that I would question and things like that. So I was out of her hair, and she liked that. Well, that doesn't always stay that way, and she had a health scare back in 2 years ago, and when I was getting ready to go, well, that'd be 2 years ago, she was just out of the hospital, and all of a sudden she didn't want me to go anymore and got really tense and uptight every time I'd leave. And I thought, well, you know, I had my time, you know, if I and there's more time left in this life. So I thought that was the right thing to do. It was a hard decision, and it was one that I had taken seriously, but I think I did the right thing.
Well, you know, when you give something up, or either voluntarily like you are, or involuntarily like I did a year ago, you know, you miss stuff, you miss it. But you also have, God gives you opportunities that replace those.
You're right.
And so I'm sure that you know, there's things in store for Mike Madden and Mike and Cheryl that are going to be a lot of fun stuff ahead of you.
Yeah, one thing I've always wanted to do, you know, ever since I got in the legislature, I wanted to chronicle the all the legislators that have served as a House member from Johnson County, starting at statehood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of interesting. There's been 33 of us so far, and there used to be it was really one of those deals where the first 10 years or 20 years of statehood, you know, they just went out and found somebody and said, you're going to go down there for for the session. And it was a biennium session then. They only met one time every 2 years. And so what they did is they would pick somebody and says, okay, I'll go, but next time somebody else is going to have to. And so basically what I'm saying, there's basically two-year terms. And that's two-year tenures is what the right. consequence of that was. And I always wanted, you know, I know a few things about.
Well, you know, back in the beginning statehood, that was a long horse ride down to Cheyenne.
It was. Well, yeah, it makes you wonder how they did get down there. You know, they had there was a railroad that was made it to Casper at that point. And I assume they would somehow get down to Casper, maybe on a horse or a wagon or something, but that's really all the alternatives you had.
And I had to interject that, but I interrupted you. You told me off the air what your plans are with investigating these 33. Yeah. So tell our listeners what you're doing.
Well, I'm going to write up, you know, I guess a pair or a highlight paragraphs of each of the past legislators. There's always something amusing or interesting about everybody, and I just want to chronicle where they came from. A lot of them, of course, in 1890, they weren't natives because mm-hmm. there wasn't hardly any natives around at that time. But where they came from, I'd like to, you know, chronicle where they, when they passed away. Most of them I know are still with us here at Willow Grove, and that's you know, I'm just going to look for that, what the things were that they did. And there's a lot of literature out there. There's some people down at the library that knows a lot about history and where to find it, at least
sure,
better than I do. And I think it'll be a fun deal. I'm going to put it, hopefully, put it in the Century, the magazine for the museum. It comes out quarterly. And I'm going to go talk to him about that this afternoon.
Okay. Well, you know, if you do too much research on some of these guys that are at Willow Grove Cemetery, then Jennifer Romanowski is probably going to say, hey, since you did so much work on that, I'll have you play one of those ghosts during the cemetery tour.
Well, I've thought about doing that, too. My problem is I don't know if I'm a very good actor or not, so I would like to do that sometime, but it'll probably have to be a year from now because I think Jennifer gets her actors lined up about now, and I'm not.
That's a lot of fun to go those.
Oh,
to
yeah, those, we never miss. We go over them all the time.
So before we get in, you know, we want to talk about the some of the revenue programs because you've been serving on the committee. The Revenue Committee all this year because you're still our representative up until now. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, the new governor is going to be sworn in on Monday. And the cool thing is he's Johnson County native.
It is a cool thing. And, you know, he was obviously, I was a supporter of his, and it was really gratifying to see him win. It was not an easy primary, and it came out okay, but it was one of those nail biters that you didn't know who was going to win until the end. And I had no idea it was going to be close because I was so sold on him to start with that I didn't even think about the other candidates very much. But yeah, he's going to be inaugurated on Monday, and Monday evening there's going to be a ball, a coronation ball, or a inauguration ball, I guess you call it, and we're going to go down to that and stay overnight and come back the next day. It looks like the weather's going to be good, too.
Yeah, it is going to be good, and we haven't mentioned his name, but everybody knows it's Mark Gordon, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm kind of, Mark and I were both contestants in the Dancing with the Stars that for the American Cancer Society on the same year a couple of years ago. He's a pretty good dancer, and don't they dance in those balls? So he's a good dancer.
he'll probably be shaking a leg that night. I don't know, but my wife has kidded him, you know, because we know him so well, and She's kid. He won that year, I think.
He did.
That ball, whatever they call that crystal ball, or
he beat out Bill Novotny and me and a few other people.
Yeah, and the deal was that she said that when he was put into office as governor, she was going to go down and check his office down there to make sure
the ball
was
still there. Well, you'll get a chance to do that during when you go down for his inauguration.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a quick break because I've got something I've got to do while we're on here. And when we come back, I'm going to let Mike go through some of those revenue projects that might bring us a little bit more income for state needs. And we'll be right back in about 3 minutes.
Best was taken advantage of.
Okay, it is 7:21 here, and we've been talking with, is it former state representative Mike Madden now, or your representative until legislature takes session?
Well, we were talking about that at supper the other night, and I think, if I were to guess, I think I'm still a legislator because I don't think we have a week. You know, Cheryl was saying, you're done at the end of the year, the calendar year. And I thought, well, that means that we would have a one-week period where we have no legislature then, right?
Yeah. If something happened, you had to call emergency session, then I would think that you'd be called. So
at any rate, I will be done for sure on Tuesday next week. So
when the legislators are sworn in, and your replacement is Richard Tass, and he's going to be sworn in on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So, but you've been a busy guy this year because you are part of the Revenue Committee, chairman of the Revenue Committee. You still right?
I am.
Yeah. And you know, revenue is important. Because whether we're boom or bust in Wyoming, we still need to look at opportunities to put money in the coffers. And so what kind of proposals are going to be brought to the floor of legislature this next term?
Well, the general parameters of the proposals we're bringing are as requested by the Management Council. And the Management Council is kind of the organization made up of legislators that guide the progress and the proceedings of all of the 10 committees to tell them what needs to be done. So they gave us a menu of priorities that we were to work on over the summer, which we did. And there was a number of them that involved changes in revenue, some not always up, but some were down. But that's what they told us to do. And, you know, I think it's important for the readers to understand, or to the listeners to understand, that any committee, such as the Revenue Committee, is kind of at the beck and call of the Management Council, and we're supposed to bring ideas for the general session to consider. And that's what I've always adhered to that. I've been the chairman now for 7 years, and that's kind of been my philosophy, is that, you know, what happens, but we are going to do our job. And it hasn't always worked out too well, but it's worked out very well the last couple of years and even longer than that. So if you want, we can go through some of the bills and, you know, just give a brief
recap. Think that's a good thing, because that way if our listeners want to follow those proposals through, mm-hmm. they know something about it before the session is opened.
Well, one of them that we'll start out talking about is a bill that involves a cut in the tax rate, the sales tax rate, and it's called Bill Number 232. And I don't know if that will not be the number that will be filed, but that's the number that we were mm-hmm. using all through there. And through the process. And what it does, Mark, is it lowers the tax rate from 4% to 2% or to 3.5%.
Okay, just a half a percent reduction.
It cuts it down to one half a percent. And the idea was to broaden the sales tax to make the overall outcome revenue neutral. All right, so that means we wanted to find a rate that when we broadened the base of the sales tax, that it would bring in the same amount of revenue. It wasn't going to be a net revenue gainer or net revenue loser. How do you do that? Well, we do it by looking at what don't we tax now that we probably should have been taxing. And all we have to do is look at other states, and you can see that, how ours differs from them. And that is, we don't tax services for the most part here. And I don't know if you've kept track of this, but if you look at over the last 35 years, household purchasing have made a very slow but significant change over that 35 years. What they've done, we used to be, when you and I were young, our households spent 60% of their money on commodities, on goods.
Right.
40% was spent on services, all right? Well, that's flip-flop now. It's now 60% services and 40% goods. So what's happened is that the base upon which we are assessing the sales tax has been slowly shrinking away. And that means that every year, maybe 0.5% of one's budget migrates over to services over the long run. So anyway, our sales taxes doesn't do the same thing as it has in the past. You know, and, you know, if you look at 35 years ago, we didn't have, you know, things like cable TV, and we didn't have internet service providers that charge you $100 a month. And
Those are services.
Yeah, those are services. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's things like anything, haircuts, beauty shops, oil changes, all the service part of that is not taxed. And so anyway, if we did that and then we got rid of some of the exemptions that are on Wyoming's books for no reason, you know, like the sales tax on manufacturing equipment, you know, that's been a thorn in my side for 11 years. And what it does is give people, if you're going to invest in manufacturing equipment, it gives them a break on sales tax. And but it doesn't do any good. You know, we had an econometric analysis show that if you grant this $10 million sales tax break to manufacturers, 95% of it goes to existing manufacturers. And the, you know, the straw man idea was it'll cause manufacturers to want to move to Wyoming because, you know, they got that break on equipment. It's not new manufacturers, it's just existing manufacturers that have no intention of leaving, and we just give them a break for no reason. We found, as a matter of fact, that over a period of time, it only creates 16 jobs, and it costs us 16 jobs in the state, and it costs the state $10 to $12 million a year.
Wow.
So if we got rid of that, that would, you know, there's an easy way to calculate how much revenue that would bring in and how much we can lower the sales tax rate. I don't know what's going to happen on that bill. I think I would think that it would be considered seriously, but like I say, I don't know. It was a priority one of the priority ones, as part of priority one with the management council. They wanted that bill to be brought to them. Now, whether that's still the case, we'll wait and see.
When you talk about broadening the tax base, I remember talking to Mark Gordon when he was state treasurer, and that's something he was a proponent of. You know, let's broaden the tax base, and he supported that with a lot of information. And so, you know, I think that's probably something that the administration wants to see too.
Yeah, that's right, and it's something that other states have done or are trying to do yet, and it just takes time to get people thinking that way. And we had some support at the committee. You know, we had somebody from the Farm Bureau said, well, we like the 3.5%, but we don't like to have any services tax. Well, obviously, you can't have it both ways. Everybody's got to be all in or all out.
Right,
and
right.
We'll see what happens.
So that's 232, but that number may change when it gets to the floor and everything.
It'll
so.
be it'll have a House bill number.
Okay.
Because all revenue bills have to start in the House, so the House is going to be busy this year. Now, there's another one, kind of a side bill with this, that was also part of Priority 1 for Management Council, and that was how to fund what we call direct distributions. Every year we pass out money to local governments, and you might say, well, why do you do that? And the reason is that we have an oddball constitution that has put limits on what local governments can raise themselves. For example, a city cannot assess more than 8 mills, and a county not more than 12 mills. But you can have, you know, there's ways to wiggle around that by special districts and stuff like that. But anyway, in Wyoming, we have got very, very rich counties and very, very poor counties. And likewise with cities, you know, a small town, I shouldn't say cities so much as smaller towns, but there are poor big cities too,
mm-hmm.
that just don't have a tax base. Laramie, Wyoming is one of those. And we have others as well. But anyway, what we have done in Wyoming over the years is we pass out what we call direct distributions, and we pass them out according to a formula that I and the Revenue Committee worked out a few years ago on passing money out in a smart way by making sure that we are helping the poorer communities more so than the well-to-do ones. You might have seen in the paper today that Converse County sales tax went up 74% in the last few months. Well, they don't need the same kind of help that their neighbor in Niobrara County or in Weston County, mm-hmm. or something like that. So anyway, the question is, how do we finance that? What we've been doing is using rainy day money for something that we really can't be calling a rainy day, because every year that money has to go out at to the tune of $52.5 million a year. So we wanted to build a mechanism for that, and that if it does turn out that if we add a half a point sales tax to the state sales tax and redistribute that according to the need formula that we have with direct distributions, we can pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would be healed up accordingly. And so that half a percent, if you reflect back on what we just talked about, with the 3.5%, would, if they pass this, it would go up to 4%.
Right.
But the thing is, what's happened is that these smaller communities, and it's going to keep happening, is their sales tax revenue keeps going down every year because people buy things in bigger towns, and that's what the pinch is. They have no, furthermore, they have no property tax base because they don't have any businesses left in town, a lot of them. You know, we're lucky here in Buffalo. We still have a retail sector, but that's not true of a lot of counties.
Well, if you're increasing the sales tax, then mm-hmm. we're also pulling some more money out of non-citizens as they visit our state.
Oh yeah, well that's there too. I mean, that's a very valid point, and it'd be a one way to do it that would have some sustainability. Because how do we do it now? We use that rainy day money, and when we have a lot of rainy day money, the counties and cities probably are pretty flush too, relatively speaking. And then when we hit a bust, we don't want to be giving rainy day money to something like this when we've got, you know, schools we got to keep open, and you know, the list goes mm-hmm. on and on, jails, Medicaid, and so on. So that one, I don't know if that'll pass or not. I think it should get a hearing, if it were to happen, I think it would certainly allay a lot of the fears that small towns and small counties really have about whether it's going to be sustained. And there are some counties, frankly, that cannot function without a direct distribution. There's mm-hmm. some that can function so well. We got counties that got $150 million in the bank, but we can't change that. I mean, we...
And some have a difficulty making payroll sometimes, some months out of the year.
We have some that... we have some that, one county in particular, that could not pay health insurance, you know, and that's certainly contrary to public public policy, I guess. But anyway, that's, we'll see what happens on that. It'd be good in the sense that it would be a way of some of those sales tax dollars that are going into the big towns would be diverted back to the towns where the people live, because that's what's really happening. You know, we don't have this drop in sales tax in a Cheyenne or Sheridan or mm-hmm. Rock Springs or Jackson.
I would think that both of those kind of go together. Yeah. That, you know, they, if one's going to pass, the other one should pass as well.
So. I would think so. You know, okay. But people are different. Well, you know, we got some that just don't want to. They made a promise to somebody, maybe a contributor, that if you give me some money, I won't vote for any tax or something. So I guess it depends on how open-minded people are going to be.
Okay.
Now, the other one is of interest to people around here is a tourism tax, or we call it a lodging tax, as it's turned out now. That's another one that should have been passed years and years ago, because we have a big tourist business. We have... a tourist sector, and how do we fund the promotion of our tourism? Well, we use general fund money, which is what? Mineral money, okay? Mm-hmm. So here we are, and I've watched it happen over two cycles now. We got a tourism sector that can really help when we have a slump in the mineral markets, as far as revenue is concerned, as far as local government health and so on. But what happens when we have a bust in the mineral industry, we cut off the funding, a lot of the funding, to the tourism department.
Which is supposed to supplant the loss from the mineral industry. It's crazy.
This is not it's a no-brainer. I mean, you want to have an independent source of revenue for tourism so that they can modify these fluctuations in state health, state revenue health, instead of accentuating it. And then, of course, the story goes that right now, if we get a boom in the energy industry, there's a tendency for the Appropriations Committee to load up the tourism budget again. Well, that's just the opposite of what we should have been doing. So that one represents actually it's a tax that the people like yourself, whenever you go out of state, pay already when you go stay in a hotel room. It would be a net 3% increase in sales tax just for lodging, campgrounds, and hotels, and that would bring in enough money for the tourism department to sustain itself over the long run and over these Wyoming business cycles we have.
All right. Well, and you know, yeah, I'm paying an out-of-state lodging tax, I might grumble about it, but it doesn't prevent me. It doesn't stop me from staying at that hotel. No. It's on the way. I have to mm-hmm. I have to stay somewhere, or if I want to visit some place like in South Dakota or whatever, in another state, I'm going to stay there. So I may not like to pay it, but I'm going to pay it. It's not going to stop me from staying there.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the kind of testimony we had from the industry. Said it isn't going to hurt our business any, because people are used to paying it everywhere they go. Even in Montana, they have something like that.
Right.
You know? So even with this net increase of 3%, we're still low compared to our neighbors to the south and our neighbors to the east, and probably mm-hmm. in all directions. I don't know what the sales tax is in places like Nevada, but I'm sure they're higher than they are.
Well, it should have been, like you said, it should have been done years ago, and hopefully, I would think it stands a pretty good chance of getting passed.
Yeah, this is one that I wanted to get through for 4 years, because it makes us look like we don't know what we're doing here. We're taking general fund money when we have a whole bunch of it and loading up the tourism department so they can advertise people to come here when the motels are kind of full of mineral people anyway. And then when we have a bus, then we say, well, we don't have any money to promote any tourists anymore. So, yeah, well, anyway, we've talked on that. And there's another one that another priority, but part of priority one was indexing the fuel tax. And I don't know how long you've been around here, but years ago we had a fuel tax that was so low that truckers were reluctant to buy fuel in Wyoming because of the international fuel tax agreement. They were only paying 14 cents, and they take that full tank of fuel into Utah or Nevada on I-80. All of a sudden, they were having to take money out of their pocket because trucks, semis and stuff, interstate trucking, they pay for the fuel they burn in the state, not the fuel they buy in the state.
Really?
Yeah. So if you're buying 14 cent fuel in Wyoming and you go to, say, a state like Nebraska that's got 28 cent fuel, they have to buy 2 gallons of Wyoming fuel to pay for 1 gallon of use in Nebraska. Huh. So, you know, anyway, what we're trying to do is not get into a pickle like that, where we are so far below everybody else that it causes decisions to be made that are contrary to what we as a public think should be done. And what this would do is just say we're going to take every 2 years, going to look at the consumer price index and adjust the fuel tax up according to what the consumer price index is. Well, you know, we're at 24 cents, and that was passed in 2013. And right now, if we had applied this index over the last 5 years, we'd now be at 25 cents. So it's not a big revenue transition, mm-hmm. But it does keep it up to where other states are, and also what our costs of doing business in Wydot is. So I'd like to see that one pass. It should pass, but you know, who knows? You know, we had somebody from the I can't understand it why, but somebody from the Wyoming Fuel Marketing Association said, oh, that's not good because you're not being accountable to the public when you have an indexing. You know, you should have to vote for them every time. And anyway, a lot of other states index. Yeah, they do it as a matter of business, and it's nothing surprising, and I'm certainly in favor of that. Another one, this is one that I'm sure that will pass. This is a loophole in the internet tax that we passed, I suppose, a couple, 3 years ago when we were talking about this, that mm-hmm. Amazon and these places.
Right, right. I remember that.
Anyway, as the story goes, we did pass that, mm-hmm. and the Supreme Court of the United States found that, yes, that's a legitimate tax now because it's not a burden for marketers to pay that tax. You know, we supply them with the sales tax rate for every town and every city in Wyoming, and that money is coming back. And if you go down to talk to, you know, Carla Faircloth down at the treasurer's office here in Buffalo, she will tell you that it's noticeable. It's not just Amazon, it's others as well. But the loophole that we discovered is, and I didn't buy anything on Amazon, but I wanted to check with just what it's all about. And I was looking for I don't remember what the product was, but if you go to Amazon, you can get, you have several choices.
Right.
Say it's a television set. I suppose 50 different TVs you can buy there. But some of them are sold by someone that cooperates with Amazon. So they take, they supply out of the warehouse of Amazon. There's probably an internet company, an e-tailer that works out of their house or something, and they buy it from Amazon, send it to you, and they get a certain percentage cut out of it, but they don't pay the sales tax. Well, you say, well, why shouldn't they? Well, Amazon technically didn't sell it to a consumer, right?
We sold it to Well, anyway, you might have six or different choices, and your product that you're buying might come from Ted's warehouse.
It'll be Ted's living room or Ted's bedroom.
Yeah.
They're e-tailers. As far as you know, it's just a company that has a.
So this thing would close the loophole so that anything that you're buying through Amazon, regardless whether it's an Amazon product or not, you'll collect the sales tax.
And plus, if there's any other similar, which there are, other type of Amazons that do the same thing and have cooperative agreements with other e-tailers, that would be closed and... that's a big deal because the sales tax that we get from all of the internet companies that are paying us now, it's not just Amazon, but we come up with, I think it's like for the state's share of it is like $14 million a year, and that's a lot of money.
Right.
Anyway, I hope that one happens. The other one we talk about, we got a problem with schools because we're relying way too heavily on the mineral industry for schools, and it's hurting us from the standpoint of economic development. And you've heard me talk about the fact that you can't have economic development, new expansion, and diversification of the state without a diversified tax base. Mm-hmm. And that's really where we're at. And so we asked ourselves, how can we change that? And the solution we came up with in the Revenue Committee was to add, I think it's a total of 9 more mills for education, but it would be phased in over a 3-year period, okay? So, if the average number of mills that's being taxed for city, county, school, and special districts and all that totals are going to be 65 mills now or so, another 9 to make it 74 mills. Well, that one, it may not pass because people don't like property taxes. I don't know why that is. Wyoming's got by far the cheapest property tax basically, except for Alaska, of all 50 states. And anyway, that would apply to industrial property and for commercial property and also for residential property. And that would raise about $100 million plus every year, which almost takes care of this deficit that we have structurally in the Education Foundation program. So it would be a good bill, it would be a fix, it would add to the diversity of our tax system. And I think another, as a side issue, it would probably make us more attractive to economic diversification and growth. There's this myth out there that says that, well, if you're gonna diversify the economy, you've gotta have the lowest taxes in the United States, and then you'll diversify. Well, we had a presentation given to us by a professional consultant that said that if that were the case, Wyoming would have a higher population than New York.
Right.
But the point is, good businesses want to have a sustainable tax system. They don't want to get here and say, well, we got a good school system when the mineral industry is working good, so come on in. Well, that's not what they want. And, we have shown and proven over the last 2 decades that our low taxes if you look at the diversification that's occurred in all of this all of the states that surround Wyoming, they've all diversified way more than Wyoming, and we have the lowest taxes. So, you know, those surveys that come out say that taxes are only the fifth most important thing to consider when moving, when a business moves into a new environment. That's the reason.
Yeah. Well, and you know, these companies that might move here, their employees, they want to keep a stable workforce.
Exactly.
And if the wife or the husband of that works in the mineral industry, and there's a bust, you know, they're going to lose that person. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. I like the idea of this particular bill. Mm-hmm. But I would think that's probably the one that's going to be argued the most.
Yeah, probably. You know, if you look at it from, you know, everybody wants to know, well, what does it do to an average property tax bill? And I don't have the exact numbers here, but I think it was like when the full 9 mills, after the phase-in is all done, the full 9 mills would add up to another $130 a year for mm-hmm. a $200,000 house.
Okay.
You know, so that, you know.
Not a whole lot.
No,
so.
It's just.
But you're right, Wyoming people do not like property taxes.
They, you know, as long as you take it in a nickel and dime fashion, you know, with like the sales tax,
mm-hmm.
say, well, you know, think about it. Just, you know, I'm really was encouraged that the state or the city did this, but they moved the sales tax from 5% to 6%, and it passed handily here, right, to fix roads. And it should have passed, and I'm glad it did pass.
Yep.
But the point is, moving from 5% to 6%, that's a 20% increase in taxes, right?
Yeah. Sales.
Well, that's not as harmful or as distasteful to people in Wyoming as a 5% increase in property taxes. Now, you go tell me why that is.
Well, Mike, we're running short of time here. Is there anything else that real quickly that they're going to be tackling?
No, we got through all of it. The only one we
awesome.
Didn't pass was the municipal option for sales tax.
Okay.
And if we don't have time to talk,
well, you're not going to be down there arguing in support of these. But I bet you're going to be watching just like the rest of us and see what happens with them.
Indeed.
And you're going down for the you're going down for the inauguration of our Johnson County native Governor Mark Gordon,
mm-hmm.
and it'll certainly be a lot of fun. I know I've talked to a couple of friends that are going down there as well. So.
Yep.
Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of people there from Johnson County, I would
Looking
guess.
Forward to having the governor on the KVBS morning show at some point in time. Always great. You know, when he's on or when you've been on, I really have to get my my thinking cap on because you guys tax me a lot.
We tax it a lot?
I will still like to have you come on, even though as a retired state representative, you know, you keep up on what's happened in the state. I'd like your ideas and your thoughts on some things. So I'm sure we'll have you back on.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. And give my best to your wife. And you're going to find some great things to do in this next year.
So, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mike Madden, thanks for being on this morning. Fox Business Report coming up right now.